Our next case is 11-244, State of Ohio versus Michael Sweetis.
They're probably not even allowed this to come.
For the appellant, Mr. Pertlow.
Thank you, Your Honor. Michael Partlow here on behalf of the appellant, Michael Sweetis. I would like to reserve 5 minutes rebuttal time, please. Your Honors, in preparing for this last night locally in a hotel, I had an interesting experience. I don't sleep well in hotels, so when I got all prepared, I had to find something to do. So I started perusing this rather thick packet of materials I had received from the Ohio Criminal Sentencing Commission concerning the new House Bill 86. And in reviewing through them, they referred to 2941-146, the statute we hear about today, as the drive-by statute. I found that a little amusing because every time I call it that, someone corrects me. And I agree. This statute doesn't strictly apply to a drive-by situation. There are such statutes in other states. The Ohio legislature obviously did not intend such. The real question today is, what did they intend? I never really thought that I would be in this court or any other high court, for that matter, discussing what the word from means. But that's basically what this case is all about. What does from mean? 2941-146 prohibits discharging a firearm from a motor vehicle. Okay. There were lots of...
Could you look at the legislative history of this statute at the time it was enacted?
I believe I did back during trial, yes. And
what did your research reveal?
Well...
You say it wasn't the drive-by... That wasn't
oh,
the
clearly. Now, if you look at the legislative history, as I recall, it clearly shows you they want more than that, okay? They don't want to just cover a drive-by situation, the classic car going down the street, somebody sticks a gun out the window, shoots, okay?
It's not what this is intended to cover.
It certainly covers it, but it covers more also, okay? We would concede
for... I guess I didn't understand your prefatory remarks, then. I thought you said that it was or wasn't drive-by application.
I
what
said
was
that
point,
in the
Mr. Partlow, I don't understand your argument.
Okay, I'm sorry. In my opening remark, what I was saying was that the Sentencing Commission referred to this statute as a drive-by statute
right.
in their materials.
Tell us what your research shows that the legislature intended it to be.
The legislature, Your Honor, intended it to be broader than a true drive-by statute. For example, we would concede without a doubt. If you're sitting in a car and fire a weapon from that car, then there's no question that that would be covered. But with regard to your question, Your Honor, we are here under a vagueness argument. I'm not sure that the question of what the legislature intended is even dispositive under those circumstances.
Well, isn't this a question of, as you pointed out, what the word from means? And isn't that a question for us to determine under the statutory construction of legislative intent in enacting this specification?
With respect, legislative intent is certainly a factor courts normally consider in statutory construction, but it is not dispositive, and I don't think I've ever seen a case that said it is. When you're talking about a vagueness argument.
Well, if this statute said, shall not discharge a weapon from behind a vehicle, would
yes.
we be here?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
If the statute enacted here and the specification said that a individual may not fire a discharge of firearm from behind a vehicle, would we be here?
Under these facts? Probably not. No. But it doesn't say that. What it says is from, and as the state points out, in a way, Your Honor, I believe that the appellee sort of makes my point. It says, well, from's a common word. I agree it's a common word. It has lots of meanings, and therein lies the problem. It does have lots of meanings. Is that word fair to give a person of reasonable intelligence notice of what is prohibited under these sorts of facts? Certainly, there are things the statute covers. That's not really the issue. The issue is, does it cover something? All the other cases, as pointed out by the dissent, and I have to say, Your Honors, I'm very, very, when I got this opinion from the 11th District, I learned long ago never to make predictions about what's going to happen. But so the ultimate decision didn't surprise me. What did surprise me was that I got a dissent from Judge Cynthia Rice, who her entire career prior to becoming an appellate judge was a prosecuting attorney, a county attorney. And she pointed out here in her dissent that all the cases that she looked at and all the cases I've looked at prior to this that deal with this statute and actually deal with a similar type of argument that we're confronted with today address a situation where the individual is either in whole or at least in part inside the vehicle. Clearly, I think if you're going to look at legislative intent, we know that the legislature did intend this prohibition to apply when someone is inside the vehicle.
In this case, you have, if I understand the facts correctly, the car's running.
Correct? Well, actually, that was disputed, Your Honor. One thing I would like to point out about that, what the only witness with no bone to pick in this case was the gentleman who said that. And what he actually said was he thought the car was running. Okay. The lights were on. And, yes, the lights were on for sure.
And your defendant is between the car door, which is open, acting like a shield, mm-hmm. and the car, but not in the car.
That is correct. Both his feet are on the ground.
And so don't we just really have a factual interpretation for a court as to whether that factual scenario that the car is running and he is using the car as a shield is sufficient to qualify factually? It would have been different if he had been on the outside of the door just standing next to the car, but he's actually within that V using the car door as a shield, and why doesn't that just become a factual determination for the court?
Well, I actually have several responses to that. First of all, if you actually read what the trial court said to me on that, the gentleman in this case would have been covered if he were simply standing behind the car by the statute. That's the trial court's interpretation of this statute. Additionally, one of the reasons that we have a void for vagueness analysis is to preclude arbitrary enforcement. And I'm not talking about, you know, crazy prosecutors and things. I'm talking about a situation which is exactly what we have here, where juries are permitted to interpret statutory language. Juries are not permitted to do that. That is always a question of law, and it has to remain so. Otherwise, you have one rule in Cuyahoga County, another rule in Franklin County, and yet another rule in Cincinnati. Now, here, by the state's own definition of from, you can have many different interpretations, and you can't have that as a matter of law.
So if he had been standing in the V with one foot on the running board, that would have been enough?
Would have been a much closer call, sure. And there in fact, is a case out there where a defendant had, like, I believe his leg and foot inside the car and kind of hopped out and did that, okay, and that held up. But here we have somebody truly outside the vehicle. Now, if from is going to cover that, then juries are going to have to draw legal lines, not factual lines.
Well, they're going to do it on instructions from a court, and we're going to try to instruct a trial court as
Absolutely.
To what this means. Are you drawing the distinction as to inside the vehicle, a body part inside the vehicle, as opposed to a body part outside the vehicle?
Absolutely. An entire body outside the vehicle. That's where I'm drawing the line, yes.
That. So 1 foot in doesn't count in your view?
Yes, 1 foot in does count or could count. That's not the case we have, but sure. I mean, you've got a much closer call then because something's in the vehicle. Here, nothing's in the vehicle.
We're going to start into the shades of gray area, and the first case you want us to promulgate is the Suitas case, which, if you prevail, would say that where an individual is outside the vehicle and has no body part inside,
yes,
this application, this statute, this specification statute does not apply.
Yes, that is certainly one thing. Because other than that, where are you going to draw the line? I mean, right now I'm speaking to this court from the podium. Well, I'm still from the podium. How far to my left do I have to go to where I'm no longer at the podium? Any other definition of from is going to have to force juries to make that distinction.
Unless we determine that the legislature didn't want anyone using a vehicle as a shield when they discharge a firearm.
Well, then you've still got the vagueness problem. I mean, you've still got the vagueness problem because here again, legislative intent is not controlling in a vagueness operation. For example, Your Honor, you just used the word shield. What about if I'm standing on top of the vehicle? And this actually came up at trial in my argument. I'm no longer using it as a shield. It certainly, though, someone could argue that I'm shooting from the motor vehicle.
Well, not by your argument, because you'd be outside of it.
Under my argument, I'd be outside of it. Under a very broad application of from, I would be from the motor vehicle, okay? And yes, Your Honor, exactly. I agree with the court. That is exactly what we're asking to do today.
Well, does it depend on whether the motor vehicle offers an advantage to the shooter as to whether or not it figures in the charge? Your example of standing on top of a motor vehicle and shooting,
yes,
it may very well be that offered an advantage to the shooter,
yes,
to do so. And I guess theoretically, if someone is in a motor vehicle and they're shooting at an individual, there is an advantage to being inside of the car, which enhances the ability, I guess, of the defendant to be more lethal or more accurate or more protected undetected, et cetera. So all those reasons point to having this enhancement with the use of a motor vehicle in conjunction with the discharge of a weapon. I'm not sure in this situation whether that would be a fair test to say that the use of the vehicle in some way enhanced or allowed for the shooter to act in a way that would have enhanced what he was doing.
Yes, Your Honor. If I may, the illustration, if I understand it correctly, that you've given could be very wise and could certainly be what the legislature intended. We don't want in any way people employing, shall we say, motor vehicles in gunplay. Okay.
We need to determine what the state's policy is with respect to the application of this specification. If it is, in fact, to deter individuals from using weapons in connection with motor vehicles, such as a getaway, then it has some purpose.
And
if it is, as you indicated at the outset, simply a drive-by, that's a different situation. So our position is that we have to figure out what the legislature intended when it enacted this specification.
And in this particular case, Your Honor, with all due respect, once you have determined that, you then have to determine if the legislature conveyed its intent in a reasonable fashion in this statute. That is what this case is about, which is reasonable notice.
Thank you.
Mr. Partlow, I just have two quick questions.
Certainly.
First of all, your void for vagueness argument, is that an as-applied, or are you attacking?
I believe in our brief we make it clear it was as-applied,
as
and
applied.
I also believe I said so at the trial court.
All right.
Yes.
And secondly, the rule of lenity that was alluded to in the earlier case, the case before yours, that talks about the language being looked at most favorably for the defense in a criminal statute. Does that, I know Judge Rice alluded to that in her opinion.
Yeah, she quite specifically cited it, yes. And that does apply, Your Honor, in a vagueness analysis. And here again, I'm not asking the court to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I am not saying that we should have nothing come out of this statute. I mean, one of the major rules of statutory construction is, if possible, if there's a problem with the statute, then the court should interpret it in such a fashion so as it is constitutional, and that's all we're asking here. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Condon?
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. My name is Patrick Condon. I'm an assistant prosecuting attorney in Lake County. I'm arguing this case on behalf of the appellee, the state of Ohio. I'm asking this court to affirm the judgment in the decision of the 11th District Court of Appeals. Revised Code Section 2941.146, the discharging a firearm from a motor vehicle statute is sufficiently clear so that a person of common intelligence is able to determine what conduct is prohibited and has sufficient standards to prevent the arbitrary and discriminatory enforcement of that statute. As this is an as-applied challenge, the facts of this case are crucial. We have an appellant who backed his motor vehicle into a parking space, who had the lights on, which not only illuminated his target, but made it difficult for him to be seen. The engine was running, which allowed for a quick getaway. And the facts of the case are the independent witness knew the engine was running because he had the same exact car. And ironically enough, he was pulled over because he had the same exact car shortly after the shooting. And he heard the same rattle of the engine that he heard in his car. So that's how we know that car was running.
I don't think anybody has any argument that this statute was created for drive-by shootings, to deal with what at the time had been a rash of drive-by shootings. And when I read the appellant's brief, the first thing I thought about was when this court issued a decision that back in the early 90s that said that you could be convicted of OVI by being asleep in your car with the keys in the ignition. That constituted operating a motor vehicle because the legislature had evidenced intent in that regard. And the legislature came back a couple years later and modified the statute to be clear to say, no, we mean that you actually were operating or had some control over the vehicle. Isn't that what's happening here? There's a little overreach here with regard to what from means in the context of what everybody knows to be the drive-by shooting?
Your Honor, from means to indicate a starting point or focal point. And while I agree that it is commonly known as the drive-by specification, I have found nothing in the legislative history that would say that it was limited to drive-by shooting specification or drive-by shooting situations. And the cases that refer to it as a drive-by shooting, there is absolutely no analysis of legislative history or otherwise that indicates that, in fact, it is limited to those situations.
So where does the from come from? How was he shooting from the vehicle? The fact that he was standing between the door and the passenger or the driver's side, that's the from? He wasn't seated in the car. He didn't have a foot in the car. He was simply standing by the car.
Correct. The shooting and the motor vehicle are inextricably linked by proximity, both temporal proximity and physical proximity. You could not, unless this court wants to read in the words in a motor vehicle, you cannot come up with a set of facts where the motor vehicle is more integral to the shooting than the facts of this case.
Sure I could. If he was sitting there driving down the highway, it'd be more integral than it is right now.
Any scenario where they're outside of the vehicle, you could not come up with facts that would be better than the facts of this case. When Senate Bill 2 came out in 1996, that's when this statute came into effect. The legislature chose to use the word from. And of import to that is there is another statute that was in effect since 1974, the improper handling of a firearm in a motor vehicle, which proscribes knowingly discharging a firearm while in or on a motor vehicle. So those words were available to the legislature, and they chose to use the word from. a word that has a common understanding among people.
So is that just proximity here is the test?
It's a proximity that's inextricably linked to the motor vehicle, the shooter, and the shooting.
Well, what if the door wasn't open and he was on the outside of the car? He was leaning up against the car to steady himself. Would that be shooting from the vehicle?
Yes, it would, Your Honor.
Okay. And if he was using it as a shield, if he was on the opposite side and shooting over the car?
I would say that is from a motor vehicle as well.
What if he was under it?
I believe that you could gain an advantage from being under it. You take your person by the victim by surprise.
This specification doesn't say anything about gaining advantage. But it just says discharging a firearm from a motor vehicle.
And from a motor vehicle.
That means from underneath a motor vehicle?
It's inherent in the word from that there is a physical and a temporal proximity to that motor vehicle.
How many temporal or physical feet from the vehicle is encompassed by your definition of from?
Well, this is based on the facts of this case.
An arm's length?
Pardon me?
An arm's length? Two bodies' length? 12 feet? What is your...
You would have to know all of the facts and circumstances of the case, the totality of the circumstances, to determine if it's inextricably linked to the shooting itself. The scenario that...
I think that's Mr. Partlow's argument. He's saying it's so vague, I don't know what's covered and what's not covered. His argument to us is, this shouldn't be enforced in this case as applied to my client because he doesn't know, and the rest of the 11 million people in Ohio don't know when it should be applied or when they're allowed or when they're not allowed.
Your Honor, I have two responses to that. The first being, it's as applied to the defendant's conduct. And so we're not talking about feet away, arm length away.
What we're trying to do is establish the range of conduct that is precluded and the range of conduct that is permitted.
I believe
that's
that.
Why the Chief Justice was asking you questions about behind, or I asked you about underneath.
And, sure.
And you said it's the totality of the circumstances that we have to look at, sort of on a case by case, I guess, is what you're arguing.
It is. It is very fact specific.
So let me just be clear here. The key here, the ticket is, does the use of the motor vehicle give the shooter an advantage, either protection, surprise, a method of fleeing in conjunction with the shooting? And if we look at it from that perspective and the answer is yes, then it is from the motor vehicle.
Correct. And every one of the advantages you could possibly gain was in this case, and you need to look at the facts of this case to determine if this appellant's behavior, the statute's unconstitutional as it relates to his behavior. Not obviously some of the things that are being brought up are sufficiency arguments, but I believe, as the Chief Justice said, that the court has a gatekeeping, they need to be the gatekeeper of what would go, in fact, to the jury. They would hear the facts, and the facts say that should go to the jury, then it's a factual determination for the jury to make.
But, Mr. Condon, the word from doesn't normally mean those things. I mean, I heard you say inextricably linked, and I heard you say providing an advantage. The General Assembly could have easily given from a special meaning in this statute by defining it in those two ways. All it says, though, is the word from, which... shouldn't it be the common usage that Mr. Partlow was talking about?
The common usage would uphold the statute in this situation, where the common usage is to indicate the starting point or focal point of the activity. There's no question that motor vehicle was the starting point and focal point of the activity in this case, and that he, all the things that the court is already aware that gave him the ability to discharge his firearm from this motor vehicle.
Is there any distinction in your argument, because we're talking about a specification with enhanced penalties as opposed to a definition of an offense, of criminal offense?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Did your research show any legislative history?
No.
That would help us?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Counsel, I'm still stumped by your use of the word temporal proximity. I, think I know what physical proximity is, but what is temporal proximity?
Your Honor, it would show an absurd use of this case with the defendant, the appellant, brought up. If someone drove to a bank, walked inside of the bank, shot someone inside of the bank, walked back to his car and got inside his car, there would be no physical proximity to that vehicle or temporal, a time link to the use of the firearm and the use of that motor vehicle. To rule in the appellant's favor, you would have to read in the word in a motor vehicle, and that gives you this result of a classic drive-by shooting where somebody pulls up in a van, jumps out of the van, has both feet on the ground, unloads their fully automatic weapon, jumps into the van, and drives away. That is an absurd result that the term from certainly covers, and they're asking you to read in the word in a motor vehicle so that that type of behavior would not be covered by this statute.
Let me ask you a different question, Mr. Condon, if I can. What was the penalty that the sentence that the court imposed here?
The overall penalty?
Yes.
It was 22 years, which included 3 years for brandishing and using a firearm, served consecutively to the 5 years.
What was the penalty for this specification?
5 years.
5 years. So five of the 22 years come from the application of this specification,
yes,
in this case. And what we're really talking about, if it doesn't apply, then the defendant would be serving a term of 17 years.
That's correct.
Okay.
Your Honor, you brought up a point that I was thinking of myself with the State versus Gill case that came to mind for you for operating a motor vehicle. And I would say that a person of common intelligence certainly understands what the word from is, as opposed to what this court ruled in State versus Gill, that a person of common intelligence, the definition of operate included to sit in the driver's seat of a vehicle with the keys in the ignition, whether or not the car was running or not. I think it's much more difficult to say that a person of common intelligence would say that's what operate means. A person of common intelligence who, if they have common intelligence and they're presumed to know the law, knows that in the improper handling of a firearm in a motor vehicle, knows that the legislature chose the words in or on, and they chose a broader term from for this statute, that their activity, and certainly as we have to look at this case, this defendant's conduct is encompassed in the word from. And the word from has a standard meaning and it has inherent limitations. Thank you for your time. I would ask you to affirm the decision of the 11th District Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Partlow, you've saved 22 seconds, so
okay,
have
and
at
I
it.
Would like to just take this opportunity to thank the court, thank opposing counsel, and wish you luck in your deliberations. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you call a recess, please?
All rise.